I don't know if you've noticed the theme of our worship this morning is it's about Jesus. Jesus is he's the hero of every story. He's the hero of the Bible. He's the one that we want to lift up today in song and in the Word. If you'll turn to John chapter 1, we're going to go back to our studying the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to share with you a story. I know that most of us are very grateful for people that shoot straight with us, people that tell it like it is, but sometimes we don't appreciate that sometimes. Sometimes it hurts too much. But I've heard this story about this criminal trial that was taking place in a southern state. And the prosecuting attorney, he called the first witness to the stand, which was a grandmother, an elderly lady. And he approached her at the stand and he asked her this question. He said, "Miss Jones, do you know me?" And she responded, "Why, yes, I know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie. You cheat on your wife, and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot when you haven't the brains to realize you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer is stunned. He was almost speechless. He didn't know what to do, so he asked her, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" And again she replied, "Well, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster. He's lazy, bigoted, has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone. And his law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention he cheated on his wife with 3 different women. One of them was your wife. Yes, I know him." Both these attorneys are shocked. The judge called these counselors to come before the bench. In a very quiet voice, he said, "If either of you idiots ask her if she knows me, I'm going to send you to the electric chair." Today in our text, we're going to look at a witness. We have a witness. We have a witness taking the stand. His name is John the Baptist. He's a very unique witness. He stood out in the multitudes. He stood out among the religious leaders and the rabbis of his day. He was born of priestly descent. His father, Zacharias, was a priest of the tribe of Levi. But he was very rustic in his appearance. Very straightforward in his preaching. He was one of those tell-it-like-it-is preachers. In fact, when he started preaching, I found it interesting in Luke's gospel, in chapter 3, verse 7, it said, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, 'O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance.'" Well, that's a pretty rough way to start a sermon. But that's how he preached. He was very straightforward. He was very tell it like it is. He wanted to point people to the remedy of their problem. You know, what's interesting about John the Baptist is that we learned a couple of weeks ago that he is a man sent by God. A man sent by God. We learned that in verse number 6. There was a man sent from God, or sent by God, whose name was John. He was a witness that God sent. Prophecy going back 700 years in Isaiah 40, telling about John. John had a unique birth. You can read in Luke chapter 1 sometime in your Bible if you haven't already done so. how that Zacharias and his wife was barren. They were really up in years. They had prayed for years that God would give them children. They had prayed for a son. One day when Zacharias was in the temple during his priestly ministry of offering the incense on the offering there, that the angel Gabriel came to him and told him that his wife was going to be with child, that they're going to bring forth a son. He's going to be a special son. And I'm just paraphrasing it for you because we don't have time to go there. But he goes on to tell him that his son is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. He tells him that your son is going to be, from the time of his mother's womb, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So John, this witness sent by God, a very, very unique witness. Remember John's purpose. John is giving us his gospel so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. And John is going to bring witness after witness after witness in his gospel. John is one of what I've found to be seven witnesses in the Gospel of John. He's a very credible witness, and we're going to look at his witness this morning. We're going to read verse 19 through 28. And as we read this, we're going to answer the question, what is the point of a witness? What is the point of a witness? Let's read verse 19. And this is the record. Now, I want to stop. That word record means testimony. It means witness. This is the record. This is the testimony, the witness of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethbar, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Father, we're so grateful for your word this morning. So grateful for this witness that we have before us. This mighty witness of John the Baptist. What an example he is for us. Lord, help us to learn how to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Lord, help us to learn what the point is of a witness. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at John the Baptist here, he illustrates something for us. He illustrates what a witness of Jesus Christ does. He witnesses what a witness of Jesus Christ does. He was not that light. Remember, we learned in early part of this chapter, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. In other words, the point of John's witness was to point people to the light, to Jesus Christ. What is the point of a witness? I'm talking about a witness of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a witness in a court hearing. I'm talking about what is the point of a witness? Because just as John was sent by God to be a witness You and I have been sent by God to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, beginning in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and also to the uttermost parts of the earth." He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." God has called us to be witnesses. Jesus said in John 20:21, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." We've been sent by Jesus Christ. Just like God sent John the Baptist, God sent you and I, who are his disciples. And so we need to know, what is the point of a witness? As we look at this story of John, we can learn something about the point of a witness is this. The point is to point people to Christ. Pretty simple, isn't it? The point of a witness, point to Christ. Point people to Jesus. That's what we've strived to do in our service this morning. We sing, we try to point you to Jesus. We're not trying to point you to the person up here singing or the choir or the instrumentalist. We're trying to point you to Jesus. And that's my goal in preaching this morning. I don't want to point you to myself. I want to point you to Jesus Christ. He is preferred before me. Jesus Christ was the one that John the Baptist pointed to in his witness. And I tell you, there's not a humbler, more lowly servant of God than John the Baptist. I mean, he stood in stark contrast to the religious leaders in his day. You look at these rabbis, these Pharisees that came to him. You sense their arrogant tone as they're speaking in condescending tone to John. Who do you really think you are? I mean, who are you? Why are you baptizing? Where'd you get your authority? I mean, they're speaking down to John when they ask these five questions. These Pharisees, Jesus spoke many times about them, about their pride and their hypocrisy. But John, he was not like them at all. When he was questioned about who he was, about his identity, never once does John exalt himself. If anybody could have had an ego, it could have been John. I mean, think about it. John could have said, "Well, you know, let me tell you who I am. I was filled with the Holy Spirit from the time I was in my mother's womb. I was born miraculously by parents that were beyond childbearing years. I was a miracle from God. I was that one that Isaiah told about. I am the voice. I'm it." I mean, he could have really put the spotlight on himself. But when you look at this interview, you find that John takes a very humble position. And every question they ask him, he is pointing to Jesus. He is pointing them back to Jesus. He is pointing them back to Jesus. His concern was to point people to their only hope, Jesus Christ. I believe that as these leaders came to question him, he was seeking to get them to listen to his message, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was pointing them to Christ. He was a man sent by God just as we are sent by God. But I wonder this morning, have we missed the point? Have we missed the point that it is our responsibility as God's people to point people to Jesus? Have we missed the point? Because I believe if you look at John, he's not only in contrast to the religious leaders of his day, but he is in great contrast to many of the popular preachers today. Many people want you to know about how great their church is. Want to know how great their worship service is. Want you to know how great their preacher is. They put the focus on things other than Christ. And listen, if we are going to fulfill our responsibility as witnesses here in Dumas, Texas, we need to make sure we point people to Jesus. You know, John, as we read in our text, he was a man who was clear on who he was and who he was not. He was clear on who Jesus is. And listen, if we're going to get the point of witnessing, we need to know and understand who we are and who Jesus is. Let's look at this story again, verse 19. This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Now, why would they send these religious leaders the first place? Well, when you look at the Gospels, you can look at several places in the Gospels. In Matthew 3:5, for example, if you want to turn over there just for that one verse, I'm going to read that verse. In Matthew 3:5, it tells us about the beginning of John's ministry. It says, "And they said unto him," I'm in the wrong chapter here. Chapter 3, verse 5. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan." You see the fame about this man. This man, he wasn't preaching in Jerusalem. He wasn't preaching there outside the gates of the temple. He was out in the wilderness. You know, think about that. I mean, let's just put it in perspective. It'd be like taking our church. We're out here on 1st and Main. We're right here in the spotlight of Dumas, Texas. I mean, we've got the location. But just imagine if we were 15 miles out in the country, and I'm saying it's a bunch of right and left turns, and it's kind of a maze to get there. And yet, it's filled with people. That's what it'd be like here. This man, he wasn't out in Jerusalem in the spotlight. He was out there in the wilderness, and people were coming to him in the masses. People coming out of Jerusalem, people coming out of Judea. They were coming to hear this man. They were coming to see what this man had to say. And so the Jews, they're getting concerned about this. I want you to look in chapter 3 of Luke, in verse 15. Here's another example of his popularity. In Luke 3:15, it says, "And as the people were in expectation." Now this word expectation is referring to their messianic hope. They were expecting the Christ. The Jews were looking for Jesus, or not for Jesus, but they were looking for the Christ to come, as promised by the prophets. And so it says, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." I mean, as they heard this man, he was an enigma to them. They had questions about him. They were wondering, is this the Christ? Is this he? And so these Jewish leaders, they saw the impact of his ministry, and they had to go find out who this man was, because these hopes of the Messiah were really running high in Israel at this time. And so they come to him, and they asked him this first question we see in our text: "Who art thou? Who art thou? Who are you?" They want to know, who are you? You know, I'm sure they must have known his father was Zechariah, his mother was Elizabeth. They must have known that, surely. His father being a priest, being a Levite, his mother also being a Levite. He was a priestly family. He could have been right up there with them wearing priestly garbs and serving in the temple, but instead he's out in the wilderness preaching. So they ask him, "Who are you?" And I know John knew their implication here. He knew that they were wondering if he was the Christ, or if he was claiming to be the Christ. But I want you to notice his answer. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And you know, in the Greek New Testament, it's more emphatic. It's very, very emphatic. It's like he's saying, "I am not the Christ." I mean, he answered that question very clearly. He didn't want any other questions concerning that brought up. I am not he. I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. See, John knew who he was not. You know, I'm afraid a lot of times as Christians, we don't witness because we don't really understand who we are as Christians. We don't understand our calling. John knew his calling. He knew who he was. He knew who he was not. Well, now, this delegation of priests and Levites, they come with a different question. Now they say, well, what then? Art thou Elias? This is referring to Elijah. This is the Greek form of Elijah, the word Elias. So Elijah. Now, why were they asking this? Why would they ask if he's Elijah? Well, the last prophet in the Old Testament, if you'll look in Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, in the very last chapter of that book, there is a promise. There is a prophecy given about Elijah. In Malachi 4 and verse 5 and 6, the last two verses of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know, they asked this question because of that very prophecy. And because, no doubt, Elijah and John the Baptist had many similarities in their dress, in their ruggedness, in their tell-it-like-it-is preaching, their fiery preaching. I mean, John the Baptist mirrored Elijah in many ways, in appearance, in his ministry of calling people to repentance. And so they were right to ask that question. Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Now this may be confusing because of that prophecy of Malachi, we may ask, well, why did he say he wasn't? Because if you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 11, here's another verse to consider. When Jesus was speaking about John the Baptist, I want you to listen to what Jesus said about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. Look with me in Matthew 11. Let's look in verse number 11. This is what Jesus says. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. He said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, now notice this, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what? Jesus said, this is Elijah. He's talking about John the Baptist here. And if you'll look also at Matthew 17, let's look at this verse. In Matthew 17, 11, there's another verse I want to look at real quickly. Verse 10, the disciples asked him, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So why does Elijah deny that he, or John the Baptist, why does he deny this? Well, I believe that there's a couple of reasons maybe. One reason is because the Jews were thinking of a literal Elijah coming back, because remember, Elijah didn't die. Remember, he was taken up in the whirlwind of that chariot. He was one that never died. Just like Enoch, he was walking on the earth and he was translated. So Elijah was swept up into heaven without physical death. And the Bible does say that he is going to return. I think that's going to be fulfilled in the end times when Jesus comes the second time. Elijah will come during the tribulation period. Elijah himself. The real Elijah, yes. The Old Testament Elijah, he will come back to earth. He'll be one of the two witnesses. That's my personal belief. I believe that. But here, I think John, he was denying that he was literal Elijah. That was one answer, I could say, one reason. But I think the main reason was John, he was not interested in building a following for himself. John was didn't want people looking at this him as this modern-day Elijah. You know what John's whole purpose was? To point people to Jesus. That's why he said, "Oh, I'm not Elijah. I'm not Elijah." He didn't want the attention and the focus. Like I said, John, very humble servant. I mean, if it was you or I, Robert, what would we do? If we was a preacher like John Baptist, we'd probably say, "Yeah, I'm Elijah. You know, we'd use it to our advantage, to our ministry, build our ministry, grow it. But boy, John the Baptist, no, he pointed people to Jesus. So now they ask him a third question. What then art thou that prophet? And he answered, "No." You know, the prophet that he's speaking of is Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses told the children of Israel, "The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken." You know, the Jews here, the Jewish leaders were making a distinction between the prophet and the Messiah, when the truth of the matter is the same person. The prophet is the Messiah. Jesus is the prophet. He's God's last prophet. It's not Mohammed, as the Muslims believe that he was the last Muslim, or Mohammed was the last prophet. That's not true. Hebrews 1 tells us that God had, in times past, he's spoken to us by the fathers. But he said in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus Christ is the prophet. And if you go to Acts 3, and I don't have time to go there, but if you can look it up in Acts 3:22 and Acts 7:37, where the apostles pointing out that Israel rejected their prophet and their Christ, Jesus Christ. So they're asking, "Are you that prophet that Moses spake of?" And he says, "No." So at this point, this delegation that came from Jerusalem, they have nothing to go back to report to their authorities or superiors. So they repeat their question in verse 22, and they said, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? If you're not that prophet, if you're not Elijah, if you're not Christ, and then who are you?" Notice John, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He just said, "I'm just a voice." Now this quotation comes from Isaiah 43. He's quoting Isaiah the prophet, which John is saying, "I'm fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I am the voice sent to prepare the way, to make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." You see, what happened back in those days, when a king would come to a city, they would go out and prepare the way. They'd have messengers that would go out. They'd remove every stone. They'd fill in every hole that was in the road and remove every stone out of the road. They would make the pathway clear and prepare the way. And they would go ahead of the king announcing his soon arrival. So taking that, John was sent to prepare the way for Christ. He said, "I'm a voice to make straight the way of the Lord." He came preaching repentance, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. See, John knew who he was. He understood who he was. He understood that he was sent here as a voice, as a witness, to point people to Jesus. You know, he didn't say, "I'm that great voice spoken of by Isaiah. I'm that important voice." He didn't call any attention to himself, but he pointed people to Jesus. You know, we need to remember who we are. If you are in Christ, if you have come to Christ and you've fled to him for refuge, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, then you belong to him. He belongs to you. You're his disciple, and he's called you to be his witness, to be his voice. You know, we're living in a postmodern Christian culture today. God has called you and I to be a voice crying in this wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. You know, Jesus is coming. Now we're looking for his second coming. We're preparing the way for his second coming. As we go out and preach, we need to warn people about our Savior who's coming. How that they need to prepare to meet their God. Just like John, we need to learn from John. The point of a witness is to point people to Christ. Point people away from ourselves to Jesus. You know, not only do we need to understand who we are, we need to understand who we serve. You know, John was very clear about that. In verse 24, they ask him their last question. They said, "Well, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" They're questioning his authority. Why are you baptizing if you're not? He answered and said, "I baptize with water." He didn't deny it. But notice what he says. "But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." John knew who he served. He served the Master. John understood his position as a servant, a lowly servant of Jesus. What's interesting about this passage is that back in those days, the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, they had disciples that they would teach and that would follow after them, and they would teach them the law. They would train them to be rabbis. And the rabbis could have these disciples do just about anything for them. But there's one thing that the rabbis, there was a law or a code among the rabbis that they were forbidden to have their disciple do. And I'm going to quote from Rabbi Joshua ben Levi around AD 250. He said, "All manner of service that a slave or a servant must render to his master, the pupil must render to his teacher, except that of taking off his shoe." So back in that day and time, a rabbi, he could have his disciple, his servant, do anything except take off his shoe. What does that mean? Well, back in that day, to loose the shoe latch, it meant that you were going to wash their feet. And that was in that culture, it was delegated to the lowest of servants, the lowest of slaves. Now, I want you to get this. So, the rabbis couldn't tell their disciple to do that because that was reserved for someone even lower than them. But look what John the Baptist says. "I'm not even worthy to do the task of the lowest slaves, to loose the latchet of my Savior." Wow. John knew who he was serving. He said, he is so worthy. He is so above me. He's the one you need to know about. That's what John is telling these Pharisees. They're coming saying, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Why are you baptizing if you're not Christ, the prophet, or Elias? He said, hey, I'm not the one you need to know. There's one among you whom you know not. He it is that is preferred before me. I'm not worthy to even stoop down and take the latchet off his shoe. He's the one. He's who you need to know. This is powerful if you stop and think about it. What John the Baptist is doing to these lofty, arrogant religious leaders coming, questioning him. He is saying, there's someone you need to know. It's not me. It's the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. You need to know him. You know, to point people to Christ, we need to be like John, esteeming ourselves less and exalting Jesus more. You know, later in John 3, it says about John the Baptist here in verse 30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, we're going to see in the next message or two, we're going to see John taking even his own disciples. John the Baptist, through his ministry, before Jesus came on the scene, before Jesus started his ministry at his baptism, while John was preaching, he was gathering disciples around him. But when Jesus came on the scene, John pointed them to Jesus. You know, there were some that were coming to him and saying, you know, John, this Jesus over here, he's getting disciples. But John pointed them away from himself to Jesus. You need to go follow him. He must increase. I must decrease. Listen, the main event at church, the main event at church is to point to Christ. That's our main event. Whatever we do here, whether it's singing, playing, choir singing, taking up the offering, everything we do, teaching our Bible classes, is to point to Jesus. He is the main event. The great goal of our church is to point the world to Jesus, the Savior of the world. We gather here on Sundays to worship him, learn about him. Then we're to go out and share him. Point people to Jesus. You know, the early church, when you read Acts, they got the point. They got the point of witnessing. They got the point of being a witness. I love the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts, you see that there were times that people wanted to worship the apostles because of the miracles and the mighty things that they did. But they kept pointing people to Jesus, said, hey, you don't need to worship me. I'm just flesh and blood like you. You need to worship Jesus. They were pointing people to Jesus. You know, I like in Acts, if you want to turn over there in chapter 5, you know, they were told not to preach anymore about Jesus. They were threatened. They were beaten. They were commanded by this same group of religious leaders that were questioning John the Baptist in our text, that they should not anymore teach or preach. It says in verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They had filled Jerusalem with Jesus, to the doctrine of Christ. The last verse in that chapter, in Last two verses, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They got the point. They understood what it was all about. They understood who they were and whom they served. They understood it was about Jesus. It's not built about building their own kingdoms. It's not about building these immaculate churches. It's not about building John the Baptist Ministries International. It's about pointing people to Jesus. You know, I read it. One of my preacher friends put something on Facebook a few weeks ago about, I can't remember exactly how he worded it, so I'm just going to paraphrase, but he said something about the best preaching or the greatest preaching is when the preacher, when Jesus is the hero of every sermon. I don't know about you, but I've heard preachers preach before that they were the hero of every story. They had such a cult following, people following a man like as if he was Christ. And they would be invited to meetings all over the country, and preachers and church members would flock to hear those guys as if he was some type of Christ. I don't think that's our job. Yeah, we give honor to where honor's due, but where's the real honor due? Christ. We have to point people to Jesus. That's the point of a witness. Over and over and over again in this passage is John. This is the record. This is the witness. This is the testimony of John. What was his record? Pointing to Jesus. You know, I wish we could continue, but I'm going to have to wait till next week. We're going to learn more about who he pointed to. We're going to learn more about Jesus next week. But I just want to focus on the point of witnessing this morning, and how that you think about this description the Bible gives us of John the Baptist, and let's ask ourselves, does that fit our description? Are we about pointing people to Jesus, or are we more about pointing people to ourselves? Are we more about winning people to like us? I think that's an honest question. You know, we need to humble ourselves and realize it's about Jesus. I can't give people hope other than point them to Jesus. I can't transform their lives. Only Jesus can do that. I can't save anybody, neither can you. Only Jesus. We need to point people to where their hope lies, to where their salvation lies, to Jesus Christ. John understood that Jesus was preferred before him. He understood that Jesus must always come first. He understood how unworthy he was, even to serve Jesus in the most humblest way. The greatest servants of Christ are those who sense their unworthiness. It's not those who think, man, I'm really gifted. I'm a good preacher. I'm a good teacher. Or I'm a good counselor. I'm a good Sunday school teacher. I'm a good choir member. I'm a good singer. You know, people that are filled themselves are, that's not who you are. That's not who Christ called you to be. He called you to be just a simple witness, a voice, to point people to him. You know, I wonder if we would fit that description of a witness according to John the Baptist. Or we would better fit what some Christian comedian who claimed to be Jehovah's bystander. Instead of Jehovah's Witness, he said, "I'm Jehovah's bystander. They asked me to be a witness, but I didn't want to get involved." Is that what we are? Are we Jehovah's bystander? Are we Jehovah's Witness? I'm not talking about the cult, the Kingdom Hall Jehovah's Witness. I'm talking about the Lord God, Jesus Christ, who is God. Are we His witness? Or are we sitting on the sidelines just as a bystander, just watching? You know, Christianity today needs to be transformed because it's morphed into this thing where, and I believe in having pastors. I believe the church Jesus started, He had pastors and deacons. I believe that. But it has got so out of balance where it's been all relegated to one man, where that man, he's the one that's, you know, all the witnessing responsibilities we're putting on few rather than taking that responsibility as a child of God. You know, Ephesians tells us why Christ gave the pastor and teachers to the church, why He gave evangelists, was to equip the church for the work of ministry. That's what He says in Ephesians 4:11. To equip the church for the work of the ministry. And that's my goal. Equip you, point you to Jesus. And here this morning, as we come to a conclusion of our message, if you're here today and you are a child of God, do you realize who you are? Do you realize whom you serve? We have such a marvelous Savior. We sang about Him just moments ago, a marvelous, wonderful Savior. We have the greatest message to tell. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We have that message. And God wants us to take it out beyond those doors of this church to share that message with the lost. Our point in being a witness is just to point people to Jesus. That's what God's called you to do. Every time they tried to put the focus spotlight on John, he turned it away to Jesus. He's the one. He's the one you need to know. And here, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know today for sure, if you died, that you have eternal life. You know, heaven and hell is real. Death is reality. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. That's reality of life. It's a reality, sad reality. But are you prepared to meet the Lord? You know, the Lord is coming again. Are you ready to meet Him? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Listen, that's who I want to point you to if you don't know. I want to point you to Jesus. I don't want to point you to those baptismal waters. I don't want you to point you to me or any other in this church or joining this church. I want to point you to Jesus. He's the one that gives you life. He's the one that saves your soul. He's the one that died for you on the cross. He's the one that rose again from the dead. He's the one that's a living Savior, and He's able to save all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever lives. So I'm telling you, don't come to the altar. Come to Christ. Amen. Come to Jesus. Trust Him. Embrace Him as your Savior. Rest in Him. And then, when He saves your soul, you become His disciple. You follow Him. You do what He tells you to do. Follow Him in baptism. Follow Him in church membership. Follow Him in serving, giving. Those are things that follow. You know, one of the wonderful things I came across a couple of weeks ago, I was studying Ephesians 2:10, and We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We all know that the previous verses talk about we're by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know salvation's not of works. It's his work for us on the cross. But he does say we are his workmanship. You know, when we get saved, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He saved us, the work for us, and then there's the work in us. The work in us. And the work through us. We are his workmanship. And that word workmanship comes from a word where we get the word poem. A poem. We are his poem. Your life, Christian, is a poem that God's writing. And the point of that poem is to glorify his son, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Our dear Father, we come before you today. We're so thankful for the example of this man sent by God, John the Baptist. A man that Jesus said is the greatest of all men born of women. He was a great man. But he wasn't great because he thought he was great. He was great because of his humility. He was great because of his master that he served so well. That's what made him great, was that he pointed others away from himself to Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, we glory in men. We glory in their gifts. We glory in what they do and forget who we are and whom we serve. The real point is to point people to Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to decrease and help Jesus to increase in our lives as Christians. Lord, help us to be effective witnesses, realizing who we are and whom we serve. We have a master that we're not worthy to serve. It's only by his grace that we've been saved. It's only by his grace we've been called to serve him, to be his witnesses. Lord, I pray that you'd take this message and use it, the hearts and lives of your people, challenging us in the area of our witnessing. Lord, that we would be bold like John the Baptist, that we'd be courageous. Lord, that we would be faithful to point people to Jesus. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus is their Savior, cannot say they're ready to meet him when he comes. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, they would turn their hearts to Jesus. They would come to Jesus and trust him. Call upon his name for salvation. Lord, we're going to pray now that this invitation, Lord, this is an invitation for us to come and respond to the messages that we've just heard. Lord, I pray your will be done. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.